Just like us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the mitzvah of Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Tzeisicha Me'aretz Mitzrayim. Even if you are a maimin, and you say you're a maimin, and you live as a maimin, there's still a mitzvah called Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, which needs to be defined, which we spent last time going through, looking at some of the Rishonim. Clarity, like Yediya, the Rambam, an outside verifiable proof. Convictions, strengthening your convictions, being willing to sacrifice. Then we saw some try to say that it's more than just believing that Hashem exists. The unique feature of Anoichi is that He's running the world, that He's the one who gave us the Torah, He's communicating to us, that there's a purpose for which He created the universe, and we have to live in accordance with that. And ultimately we saw Hirsch, Rav Hirsch, who was basically putting things together in a totally different way, not to the exclusion of the Rishonim, but I think to take it to a different dimension, which is that we have to actually make Hashem our personal God, meaning we have to have an actual personal relationship. It's not enough just to see Hashem as the creator and the sustainer and the overseer of this huge chain of historical events that started when He created the world till now, and we're part of that chain, but that I directly have a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the one who's mechaya me right now, giving me my breath, giving me kiyum in my life, etc. And I have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, be mishabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, live with this awareness. And we then moved on to the concept of a tamidi, because we know the Sefer Achinuch mentions this mitzvah is a mitzvah tamidi. And Reb Tzedek HaKohen asks, but it doesn't say in the Torah that it's a tamidi, nor does it say this concept of a tamidi anywhere in the Torah itself. But he has a concept of a mitzvah tamidis. So the question is, where did this come from? So Reb Tzedek HaKohen wants to suggest that perhaps the concept of pen tishkach es Hashem Elokecha, that there's also a lav, like the Ramban is moine, that you're not allowed to ever forget about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And what would that mean? And we saw that there are different approaches in the Rishonim and Pen Tishkach. Some say that it means you're not allowed to be koifer, right? Obviously, that's more basic. But then, within that, there's a question of what would be called tamid. Like David HaMelech says, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid. And Reb Tzedek was clarifying, does that mean that every Jew, if Pen Tishkach and what tamidi means were to be what David HaMelech is saying, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid means literally every second and second, I have to be fully and constantly aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all these different ways, not only just Emuna and Yichud and Ahava and Ira and all the mitzvahs that's mediais. So, Lo Shavkes Chayil Kolbiria is Zachrib Tzadak HaKoyim. It's not possible. And if you say that that's the Kavana of the Lav of Pentishkach, so then every Yid is over Ribe Riveve Lav in every second and second of his life, that he's not constantly Shakua in this, and that's a Lo Shavkes Chayi. So he says that it means we can't be parek ol. There's a certain basic modicum of living as a Jew, that things are accepted, that these are things that are in line with living a Jewish life. We have to make sure we're not parek ol, that's one. In addition to obviously not being actively koifer, we have to stay in a basic modicum of living a Jewish life. And then, anytime I think of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, or I feel the connection to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Mekayim a mitzvah, you brought a yireim, and then beyond that, he says maybe twice a day, he brings a psikta twice a day, once in the morning, once at night. And beyond that, he says from the Rabbeinu Yoina and Shari Tshuva that what's called nikr mitoich maisav, that would mean a level of tamidi that he, and this is Reb Tzedek's suggestion, a level of tamidi that everyone should be shooting for, is that my living with a Kadosh Baruch Hu and being mekayim these mitzvahs hatamidiyos, the shear would be that it's nikr mitoich maisav, that if you were to watch and study and explore my maisim from the beginning of a day throughout my day, would you see an alignment on all levels? Not just I'm not breaking any of the things that represent the basic modicum of Judaism, but does this look like a person who is aware of a Kadosh Baruch Hu? Would a person living with an awareness of a Kadosh Baruch Hu do this? Is this nikr mitoich maisav that I'm a maimon? That's what he suggests. And he says, and the way that we do that, the way that we reach that, is by being mashkia ourselves as much as possible in Torah and mitzvahs. Now, someone who does actually reach that, if he wants to then ask a Sheilas Chacham whether he's allowed to spend more time just being Mizboinen and Gedulas Ayin Soif Baruch Hu all day long, so it's a Sheilas Chacham, he could go perhaps weiter from there and literally do like David HaMelech Tamid, but he shouldn't fool himself into thinking that he could reach that before he actually followed the pathway of getting to Nikar Mitoich Maisa. That's the Mahalik of Reb Tzadok HaKohen over there. Now, tonight I wanted to, because next week I won't be here, and by that time again you might be on a different mitzvah, so I wanted to try to tie things together a little bit. So that's a little bit of a chazara. And further, there's a concept of bitachon. The question is, where does bitachon fit in? We talk about emunah and bitachon. And bitachon is something that is seen having some sort of a relationship with emunah. We speak of them in tandem, but it's obviously something different. It's obviously something that has its own definition. So what is the relationship? What is the definition between emunah and bitachon? What is the definition of bitachon? And how are we meant to bring this all together in our lives? So following on the heels of the Rishonim and Rav Hirsch and Rav Tzadok HaKohen and Tamid, so this is the direction that we're led to anyway, he brings Bitachon. So this first question, what is the relationship between Emunah and Bitachon? I don't know if you have a sheet in front of you, but two of the most oft-quoted sources in relationship to this question are the Ramban and Sefer Emunah Bitachon, and also the Chazon Ish and Sefer Emunah Bitachon. So the Ramban explains as follows: Hamunah v'Bitachon hem shnei inyanim. These are two separate inyanim, Emunah and Bitachon. Technically speaking, though, sometimes the way we use the terminology may get interchanged one with the other, but they're technically two different things, two different terms. Sha'echad tzorech l'chaveroi ve'ein chavero tzorech loy. This is the haychacha. The haychacha is one needs the other, one is dependent on the other, and the other is not dependent on this one. What does that mean? Emunah is kaidemis l'bitachon, it precedes bitachon. Umiskayemis b'leiv ha'mamin. And it takes place in the leiv ha'mamin. Afal pi sha'ein ha'bitachon ima. Even if there's no bitachon with it, and bitachon doesn't require, emunah doesn't require bitachon per se. Ulefikach eino mora alav. Emunah doesn't imply bitachon. Aval bitachon hu mora aleha. Bitachon certainly implies emunah. Shei efshar liyos koydim la, v'lo lehiskayim biladeha. There cannot be bitachon without emunah, or that preceded it, meaning emunah must have preceded the bitachon. The kol baiteach yikra maimin. Anyone who is called a baiteach by definition is a maimin. Ach lo kol maimin yikra baiteach. Not every maimin is called a baiteach. Now here's where he gives us a little bit of a mushel to what he's trying to speak of. Ki emunah kamo ha'ilan. Emunah is like the tree. Bitachon is like the fruits that grow on the tree. You can't have a fruit if there wasn't a tree from which it grew from. That's what he's getting at over here. But the fact that you see a tree doesn't necessarily mean that there must be a fruit. For example, there are trees that don't produce fruits. And he continues. So, first of all, he's trying to give us a basic understanding of the interrelationship between Emunah and Bitachon. He doesn't, Kedarkam of the Rishonim, he doesn't really explain in our terms and the way we would need it explained for ourselves, but he does give us, from the Rishonim, the way they speak, he gave us the Mafteach of how to unlock what is being said here. There's an interrelationship between Emunah and Bitachon. One aspect here is what I would call a kedima in time. It sounds like he's talking about kedima in time, meaning in process. And also that there's a taliya always, meaning that it's not just that Emunah must precede Bitachon, it's that Bitachon always depends on Emunah being there as well. That's a constant. It's not just that I have to be a maimon in order to become a Beiteach, but I always have to be a maimon in order to be a Beiteach as well. Meaning that there's two stages, perhaps, of emuna. One is the emuna that precedes bitachon, and the other is the emuna that must be always there along with bitachon. And so, perhaps there's two different aspects of our emuna in terms of the way it develops within us as we become boitrim. The first stage, that would have to do with, if we were to try to understand, the first stage would be something that every person goes through if they're trying to be Mekayim and live as a Jew. Every person goes through asking themselves the basic questions of emuna and trying to work out how they stand and where they stand and to be mischazik in their emuna. And that for sure is the preliminary stages of emuna, like we spoke about in earlier sessions. But the emuna that has to be there in tandem with bitachon is an emuna that actually grows and continues to be there always with the pre. But the pre itself, he doesn't really describe to us all that much. He describes a little bit, but he doesn't really describe all that much about what the pre is. Now, if you were to continue learning in the Sefer, he does actually go into, in great detail, what bitachon is. And I'm not going to use from him today, but I'll show you a different source, but I invite you to take a look at the Ramban in greater detail. So first and foremost, the interrelationship, emuna, is something that precedes and also must be there always in order for bitachon to exist. Bitachon is the pre. We need a more clear definition of what the pre would be of emuna. If we're talking about living with a Kadosh Baruch Hu and being aware of a Kadosh Baruch Hu as the first stage of emuna, so then what would change if we were to talk about the second stage of emuna? Now there's a pre, and it's producing something called bitachon. This pre, this eon in its further stage, which is producing the pre of bitachon. What would change? What would be different in my experience as a maimin that now it's producing bitachon, which not every maimin is a baitach. Not every person who lives with a Kadosh Baruch Hu and believes in a Kadosh Baruch Hu and knows that Hashem exists, not necessarily are they a boiteach. I mean, what would it mean? It has to be, when we talk about a maimin altogether, let's ask ourselves, what kind of maimin is he talking about? A guy who's like, yeah, I believe in Hashem, I think. That's the kind of first stage of emuna that's koidim to be tachan, or he's talking about a real maimon, somebody who they were Mekayim, the mitzvah of emuna, the way it says in the mitzvahs, they were Mekayim. I would suggest that if he's saying that there's something that he's called a maimon, and he has emuna, that he's living with a Kadosh Baruch Hu, like we learned about, like we know. His emuna is intact. He lives as a maimon. He's not just somebody who, if you put him on the spot, so he'll pull out his card. Yes, I'm a card-carrying member of the Maminim group. Yeah, he's a maimon. He lives as a maimon in his mind, his deis, everything. It's worked through. He lives with an awareness of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But what? What's missing? What's the pre then? That's, I thought, that was what we got to last week. That's like the ultimate. So then, what's in addition to that? What's going to come out? And again, that's kind of where we're left, at least in his initial, in his mashal, and in his initial understanding, we would be left to be choiker more and more. He has a whole sefer on it. The truth is, it would be kedai to learn that sefer. I just want to also get a little more reka, and then I'll address the further question. Background. So, the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish, now what we'll do, looks like the printing didn't come out, the photocopying might have not come out so great. It's unfortunate, it's hard for people to see what it says. So, I was planning on doing Ois Beis right here. But I'll give you the gist of what it says here, even though we're missing a line. He says, emuna is like halacha, v'abitachan bebechinas maisa. That we could already pick up in this paragraph here. It's the next. It continues from down here up till here. We're over here. Halacha. So emuna is like halacha, and bitachon is bebechinas ma'isa. Nekaliyos b'teach b'shar she'ein ikar hatafkid shel habitachon. It's easy to be a b'teach when it's not being challenged, meaning when it's not being put to the test. Shas tafkidoi. But when it's harder to be a b'teach is b'shash tafkidoi be'emes. So then, to be a b'teach then, so he's giving us a sense, maybe a little bit of what it would, right? A little bit of, as an acharon, so of course the language speaks differently than those of the Rishonim and gives us a little bit more of a bridge. Nekel shager b'pivu b'svasov es habitachon shuhla halacha v'loy l'maisa. It's easy to be accustomed in your mouth and on your lips in the nihugim of bitachon when it's l'halacha but not l'maisa. Rakim es aneg al dimyonais mazhirim u'mesamchim u'miroi v'yomim u'mates atzmoi u'mates acherim. This is harsh, what the Chazon Ish is talking about over here. Yeah, he's saying that we fool ourselves. The days and months and years go on, and we fool ourselves and others into thinking that we're boitchim in Hashem, because we live and most of the time through our lives that we're not put to the test. We're not really put to the test. So we develop within ourselves a sense that everything's going okay. We're living with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But when we really get put to the test, when it's shas tafkidoi be'emes, that's the question. Ki omnam alal b'nei giloi b'minas habitachon, ula mitas hadavar mishamish b'midazu lahatavas chaloimais ne'imim al ha'asid ha'kamus. Right? He thinks to himself and he envisions in himself, this is his fantasy, that he's greater than others in midas habitachon. But however, in the truth, he's only using the midah to lahatavas chalomis ne'imim, to make it seem like his dreams have been fulfilled, and the future, this good hidden future that's going to come out, will come out. It's all fantasy. V'amnam b'zois yivchan im pi v'li by shavin. Here's how we could test im pi v'li by shavin. Hayim b'teichu be'emes oach lamad l'shayna l'tzav seif b'tochen. Did he really learn bitachon, or he just chatters bitachon? Bitachon u b'libay like koinonai. Kasher nifkash b'mikra hadarish bitachon. When a real test comes his way, that's when you know. The pre, or the lamaisa, as opposed to the elon, or the pre, or the halacha, as opposed to the lamaisa, is when you're really put to the test. That's how he seems to be taking it further for us, I think, than Ramban. And I don't really think that on this point, for sure, I don't think that on this point there's a machloikis between the Chazon Ish and the Ramban in terms of understanding the interrelationship. Halacha and Maisa are very similar to the Elon and the Pri. But what is the Pri? The Pri is that even when a person is put to a test, a real test, he still stays completely and totally kashur in his heart, in his mind, and lives nikar mitoich ma'isav even in those situations as a yid. He just doesn't lose it. He just doesn't lose it. He doesn't get disconnected when you put it really to the test. But all the rest of the time, he's basically totally there, you know, feeling inspired. It's great. Everything's wonderful. Just not when, you know, everything hits the fan. So that's stage one. Now, in terms of trying to understand a little bit more about bitachon itself, there's a chovas halavavas. I think maybe that would be a good place to start. It's the last source on the sheet for chovas halavavas. It gives what I would consider to be the patented definition of bitachon. But there's some dikduk lashon here that I think it's worthwhile spending some time on trying to understand. He says, "Ach mahus habitachon." What is, in essence, bitachon? Himenuchas nefesh habiteach. Menuchas nefesh habeteach. That needs to be defined. What does that mean? Menuchas nefesh habeteach. That needs to be defined. V'shia liboy samuch. A separate thing. Liboy samuch. Al mi shabatach alav. On who he's trusting and on who he relies on. Sheyase hatoy v'hanachoyim loy be'inyin. Asher yivtach alav kafi yecholta v'daitai b'ma shemefik tovasef. So, in the translation here, it would be that I have menuchas nefesh and leiv samuch in the one who I'm trusting in, that he's going to do what's toiv v'nachayim. Now, these also, toiv v'nachayim is a language that also needs to be explored. These are two words, toiv v'nachayim. For me, in the inyan that I'm trusting in him, that he's going to do to the best of his capabilities and that he can for my toiv. But again, hatoiv v'hanochin. So, first of all, what is this menuchas nefesh that he speaks of? And what is toiv v'nochin? So, in terms of menuchas nefesh, it's hard to figure for ourselves, since we don't use this language anymore. We speak today, we have different catchphrases, different maftechos for what we mean when we say certain things. It conjures up a certain idea that we're all familiar with. But if I say menuchas nefesh, it doesn't mean anything, right? That, at least not to me, menuchas nefesh. Because if you say, well, what does menuchas nefesh mean to you? That means, I don't know, relaxing on a chair in the out on the porch, menuchas nefesh. But he definitely doesn't mean that. And, you know, some would translate it perhaps as tranquility. But tranquility is a little bit too flaky for me, personally. Yeah? So what is menuchas nefesh? Huh?
Security.
Security, perhaps. But that's what, then we have to compare it with liboy samuch. Liboy samuch. Right? Liboy samuch. Samuch is a word that indicates reliance and feeling dependence on and being okay with that. Liboy samuch. Menuchas nefesh, again, I'd put forth, although this is obviously open for a much deeper explanation and I'm certainly not the authority on Chovos HaLevavos, but in my research, in my attempt to try to understand what this means, I've come up with the following. And please be mavar or ask. I'm open to anyone who has something to bring forth and bring to light here, because it's a deep piece. Menuchas nefesh, basically, today they have something called stress. Have you heard of it? You've heard of stress before? Anyone? I heard of it. So stress and anxiety, right, is basically, you know, there's this feeling that we're walking around with. It's a very unsettling feeling inside that, you know, what's going to be, what's going to happen if, oh, and this, and how will I, and then what about this, and sometimes it gets so deeply ingrained in us that we can't focus anymore, we can't think anymore, right? We're Eismensch, we can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, sometimes even have a hard time breathing, right? It's anxiety, real anxiety. A person cannot live in such a matzav. It's not possible. At least not for an extended period of time, without experiencing severe symptoms that start to cause a breakdown of the systems that we need in order to function. A person has to have a basic calm, a basic inner, and again, I don't like the word tranquility, but an inner stability, a calm about them. Yeah? That what? This. Yeah? Shiyasa toy v'hanochayim. Now, he has in a different part, he says these words. If you look in the previous paragraph, I just want to tie it together because there's a diuk here that helps to explain what I'm trying to say in a definition of menuchas nefesh. He says in the previous paragraph, as you also have it printed over here, let's see, yeah, it's in the middle. Uh, Yeah. The fourth line, right at the beginning of the line, it says, Mipnei, because, She'im einenu boiteach be'alikim, if you're not boiteach in a Kaddish Baruch Hu, boiteach bezulasa. By definition, you're boiteach in something else. Now that is a very hard thing to say. Yeah? That's a very hard thing to say. Maybe I'm just not boiteach in a Kaddish Baruch Hu. But that, why does that imply, by definition, that I'm, that for sure I'm boiteach bezulasa? Who says? So, what I would put forth, together with what it says further, is that menuchas hanefesh is something that a person cannot function without. It's like an instinct. It's a basic instinct. I have to have some basic yishuv hadas, some basic calm in my life, that everything is stable and calm, and there's a space that I can go to inside of myself that I know, right, that everything's, I don't want to say okay, but that there's a reason and there's a plan and there's something happening that I can feel comfortable inside and calm, and I don't have to live with this anxiety, and I need that. It has to. A person cannot live in an extended period of time without that. And if I, and since I need it, and it's an instinct, if I'm not getting it from a Kaddish Baruch Hu, then by definition, as an instinct, I will be trying to get it from something else. And he goes on. The Chovei Salvavus goes on. What are the other things you might try to get it from? Money, power, right? Your career or your bank account, ashrus. Your gvura, he talks about your power, other people, right? He goes through, right, different types of things that a person might turn to, examples of where we'll go in order to get this feeling that we absolutely cannot live without, must have, which is menuchas hanefesh. It's a calm, it's a sense of, it's the opposite of anxiety and stress. It's the thing that we all need to have in order to be able to function. Now, bitachon, the essence of bitachon is menuchas hanefesh. It's this feeling, but it's this, if we're talking about it in the relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's this feeling in association with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sheyaseh ha-toiv ha-nachayim, that he's going to do what's toiv and nachayim. Now, what's toiv and what's nachayim? Now here, if you look in the Gimel Perushim, that's throughout the generations, the Chovei Salvavus, a sefer that was very well learned, and even commentaries by great people written on it throughout the generations. Here, toiv and nachayim is explained. Toiv is that which I understand. That's when I can understand why things are happening the way they are, and it makes sense to me, and it resonates. So I'm calm because I understand. I have a basic idea of where things are going, and I see things are moving smoothly, and it's toiv, and I'm not so concerned because I can see it going in a direction that seems to make sense to me, and it looks like it's going to be good. What's nachayim? Nachayim is when I don't understand why things are happening this way. Nachayim is when I don't see where it's going or where it's going to come out. But nachayim tells me that there is a reason for why this is happening. There is a plan. It still fits. It's nachayim. Even if I can't personally, in my own mind, I can't make sense of it yet. I can't figure out why it's happening. But I know that it's nachayim. And so, even here we're talking about then, a person who's living with menuchas hanefesh, in his relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even when things are not going the way that he wants them or needs them or expected or was hoping that they were going to go. Right? And even still, he has menuchas hanefesh, the lev samuch on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he's going to do what is toiv and nachayim and always bring it about. Now, what is implicit in this Chovei Salvavus then is that things will not necessarily always work out the way that I want them to. But that's okay. Right? Why is it okay though? Why is it okay that things are not going to work out the way that I want? Because at the end of the day, it's nachon. Yeah? That is that I have a Kaddish Baruch Hu is bigger than that, and I have good reason to feel calm, and again, comfortable with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and what He's doing, and I don't feel anxiety or stress or any of the tension that would bother me or cause me to not be able to function in any way, because I know that it's going to come out ultimately for what HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows is the right way according to His plan. And I'm comfortable with that. When I think about that idea, I don't have any tension, I don't have any stress, I don't have any anxiety, I'm totally and completely calm. And that's what the Chazon Ish is saying. When you put a person to the test, when the situation is totally out of hand, completely not what you thought it was going to be, not what you need, not what you're expecting, not what you were banking on, etc., then that a person is still living with a Kadosh Baruch Hu and still comfortable, calm, at ease, and knows that it's nothing, that's the additional point that you don't have with every Maimon. Not every Maimon has this extra level of connection. And I want to move on also to the Chazon Ish, because the Chazon Ish, just in case you don't think the Chazon Ish really agrees with this particular point, the first part of the Chazon Ish here, he really goes to town on this point. It's a famous bit of Chazon Ish that's worth reading through. Tos Naishenis, an old mistake. This Azricha, that means it has become a citizen, if you will. It has become implanted, belev rabim, in the heart of the masses, the musag bitachon, and the idea of bitachon. Shem bitachon ha-meshamesh l'mida mehulo v'ikaris b'pei ha-chasidim. This mida bitachon, which is the praiseworthy and ikar by the pei ha-chasidim, nistoivava b'musag choyva l'hamim, it's like nistoivava, it's fallen and been spun to the idea of choyva l'hamim, b'kol mikre, in every situation. It's an obligation to believe in every situation, shepoyesh ha'adam, that a person comes into contact with, v'hamidasai likras asi bilti mukhra, where it's set him towards a future that's bilti mukhra, that's not clear one way or another where things are going. What must a person do according to this mistaken concept of bitachon that everybody now has, right? Ushnei drachim basa. There's two possible future things that could come out. Achas toiva velo shnia. One could be good and one not. Ki betach yatov. For sure, it's going to be good. Yetov. You hear this all the time. Yetov. It's like a 10 agora piece, you know. Yeto, like you don't even. What do you think about a 10 agora piece? It's nothing. Yeto. Betach yeto v'im mistapek v'choshech al hipuch. If you think for one second v'choshech al hipuch atov who mechuser, and if you don't say that, so you're a mechuser bitachon now. You're a sheketz. You don't say yeto. You're a sheketz. Not only, right, do you have to say yeto, but if you don't, he's not anshei shleimenu anymore, this guy, right? Ve'ein ha'irazu b'bitachon nechon. This is not accurate. This whole musag of bitachon is not accurate. Shekol shalon is bar b'nevuah. As long as you don't know b'nevuah, garo ha'asi, what the future is actually going to be b'nevuah, ein ha'asid mukhra, it's not yet decided which way it's going. Period. Ki mi yodeh mishpatei Hashem gmulais of Yisbarach. Who knows Hashem's mishpatim and His gmulais, His bestowance, what He does. Aval inya bitachonu. So then, what is bitachon? Who emun, trust? She'ein mikra ba'olam. There's nothing that happens that is circumstance. There's nothing mikre. The koan nasa tachas Hashemesh hakol b'hachrazam itay Yisbarach. Everything is b'hachraza. It's announced from on high. It's determined. It's set forth by His gezeira. U'biyos pe'ulas ha'muna al orkei ha'chayim hi b'chal midas b'nei adam. So since amuna al orkei ha'chayim, in terms of the right the experience of life, it's in the midas of b'nei adam. U'kashem shem midas ha'anava u'midas ha'rachamim u'kiyotze behen min ha'midas. Ein lehem imikrei tsuras hageshem or tsuras hageshem. Should tsuras hageshem kashura beketzev u'mida, the midos don't have physical dimension. Being passive kitzvah tufsad surasa, where if you damage the kitzvah, the measure of the thing, you mess it all up. Ukli shavar eino kli elecheres. That breaks it. Ava, and it's worth nothing. Aval midos bnei adam mischalfos lemidregos nalei zemizet. They don't have that type of construct, and they can be transferred and shifted from one to the other. Ul kol ish yasher yesh mi midas anav or midas arachamim. Aval ein bnei adam mishtavim bezeh. Not everyone is the same. Behem zeh lemalei mizeh. Cain, just like we say that in midas, Cain midas emuna. Yesh ba madregos zeh lemalei mizeh. Uketani emuna gam cain bechalal maminim. And he goes on. So again, in the Chazon Ish, a very strong point being made about how bitachon does not mean this kind of just living what I after having learned and understood what they're saying, what I would consider to be a very irresponsible life, where you basically just toss everything up to yetov, and you know, you kind of go through life as a bit of a drunkard, I would say. You know, like, it's just not, you're not really living with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's a very false sense. It maybe is easier, and perhaps that's what he means by that there are madregas. It could be that he might still consider these people, right, even though they would not consider us, right, who are living like this, they would not consider us Boitchim, but we might consider them Boitchim. But there are madregas. But the real madrega bitachon is that there's no mikra ba'olam. There's no mikra ba'olam. Anything that happens, it happens because it's part of the plan of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Some things I understand, or at least I understand part of them, and some I don't. And we get put to the test. And the real challenge is not learning up, you know, what does Hashem want from me, and what is the mitzvah of Amunah, and what are the dinim, and I have to know this, and I have to be aware of that, and how often do I have to think about it. But those are all wonderful things, and those are that's the Amunah that's koidim, that precedes bitachon for sure. And it's something that we all have to be working on as Yidden to try to develop a real relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even if it's only for a moment in time where I have an awareness that Hashem exists and I'm fully able to live with Him and feel connected to Him and be Mishabeach and Moedet to Him on all the Toivos. But then, right, I could be a Maimin. As a Maimin, and I mean Maimin Lahalacha because he's Mekayim the Mitzvah of Emunah, not just going with what's built in, but he's actually Mekayim the Mitzvah of Emunah. That's even an additional Madreg of a Maimin. But not every Maimin is a Baiteach. And the real shift here that we're learning about, which is the culmination of this, is to take it to even a whole new level. And this is where it changes from being not just an intellectual, and I would suggest not even just an emotional, but something that even becomes so ingrained on an instinctual level, it's almost like a drug. I don't mean that in the literal sense. But menuchas hanefesh is something that you're, right, not you, but there are literally millions of people, millions, who are taking drugs in order to have a false sense of menuchas hanefesh. Right? Just to give you a sense of how desperate people are for menuchas hanefesh, how necessary it is in order to be able to function. Yeah? I have to feel that I have some calm, some basic structure within my life that makes sense, that gives me stability, that I can look to and say, here's how I'm going to be able to make it through. I've got a bank account, I've got a career, I've got my wife and my family, and I've got I've got it all worked out, I've got my plan, this is how it's going to work out. Why do we spend so much time on these things? You don't even realize it. We don't even realize it about ourselves. We spend so much time developing ourselves to be able to have a career so that we can make parnasa. Right? So, for what? Right? Not just to pay the bills, but because we need this feeling of menuchas hanefesh. I have to have some sense that everything's going to be okay, that, and it will make sense how it will be okay. It's not just going to be yetoiv. We invest years of our lives developing ourselves, making sure we've got what it takes, so that we have something to be comfortable with. But really, the mitzvah of bitachon is that, in addition to, if you learn Sefer Chovos HaLevavos, you see, he expects that a person does things responsibly, you know, He talks about making a parnasa and developing yourselves, etc., etc. But at the end of the day, real bitachon, the madrega of real bitachon is that a person feels this. Ultimately, the real menuchas hanefesh doesn't come from my career, it doesn't come from my family, it doesn't come from my bank account, it doesn't come from any of these things. It comes from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And when a person is able to make that shift, that my menuchas hanefesh, that comes from a very deep place inside of a person. It's when I'm no longer feeling that I'm missing. There's nothing missing. I've got what I need. I have everything that I need in order to be able to manage and function. And of course, I have no idea necessarily what's going to happen, what's going to unfold, who does. The future could be either way. But I'm totally comfortable that knowing that a Kadosh Baruch Hu has a plan and a purpose. And when I think about how I'm going to make it, yeah, of course I want to have a bank account, of course a family and a career and all these wonderful things. But the Ma'aseh that I know deep down inside of me, not only on an intellectual level, not only on an emotional level, but all the way to the core of my being, right? There's a harmony, there's a calm inside. When I think about a Kadosh Baruch Hu, everything then puts me in a place where it's going to work out. Not necessarily yet tov, but it's going to work out according to His plan, and I'm totally samech on Him that is ultimately what is best. And that, if a person can reach that and live that way, even in Shas Tafkidoi Be'emes, which does happen to all of us, that's the pre that this whole sugya would be trying to produce within us. That's the pre that Kadosh Baruch Hu wants ultimately from the Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, that should produce in us this inner calm, this menuchas hanefesh, when we think about this. So yeah, any questions? Yeah.
Tov is a person sees the path is good and is fitting. Nachon, he doesn't see it. Isn't that what part of our definition of Amuna?
What would be?
He doesn't see it when it's good. He just doesn't see that he's trusting in it. Isn't that Nachon sitting in the Amuna?
Well, again, you're right in the sense that when we apply the concept of Amuna is when I don't know. Yeah. When I know, I know, right? Yediyah is Yediyah, and Amunah is when I don't know, so I have to apply my Amunah. But applying Amunah on an intellectual level, where I say to myself in my mind, it's Latov, and you know it'll work out, but that doesn't translate into Menuchas HaNefesh, then we're still not yet at what the Chovas HaLevavos is talking about. You're right. On the preliminary level, every maimon, whether he's a boteach or not, every maimon when put to a test, So at least on an intellectual level, he will go through the exercise of forcing himself within his own mind to accept that. Of course, a Kadosh Baruch Hu, we don't know exactly what's going to be, and right, it's nachon. There's a plan, and I submit to that, and I'm not going to be koifer in that. And I'm not going to fight against that. But then there are dargas of how much tension do I still feel inside. And according to both what the Ramban and the Chovas HaLevavos are saying is, a person could be called a maimon and have a din of a maimon and still have tension on the, in the kishkas grinding away on the inside with what's going on in his life. He's still a maimon, but a boteach, at least not a batech to the level that we're striving for here, he's not. Because menuchas hanefesh is menuchas hanefesh. And that's an additional point that requires a whole separate sefer or a whole separate shar called Shar HaBitachon to teach you how to be a batech. And, right? How to be a maimin is in a different shar in Chovas HaLevavos, that Shar HaYichud. His definition of how you go about becoming a maimin, that's in Shar HaYichud. That's the first shar of the sefer. Yeah? Shar Bitachon, the fourth shar, is how you go about becoming a Baitech. It's an entirely different set of rules and regulations of what you need to do and become in order to be a Baitech. Yeah? So it's a separate point. A person who's a Maimon, it will not automatically translate out into Menuchas HaNefesh. That's the pre. again, nachon, as you say, nachon is when I don't understand why it's happening the way that it is. Yeah, I don't see the toiv. I don't see it. It's not clear to me. But nachon tells me, not only on an intellectual level, but my barometer inside, my kishkas, my stomach muscles, tell me, nachon, nachon. So a maimin, his mind tells him that it's going to work out. Yeah? But a baiteach, his kishkas tell him it's going to work out. That's the pre. Yeah.
Talk a mitzvah? About so, amunah, or is it just a pre?
That's an excellent question. It's certainly something that if you read in Rav Tzadok HaKohen, the language he uses, like it's in the packet from last week. He discusses this. He uses the language, I think, Sivu. The Nevi'im were Mitzaveh. In other words, it's not one of the Taryag Mitzvahs. There's no question about that. And to the best of my knowledge, it doesn't appear in Chumash, that word, you know, to be Baiteach in a Kaddish Baruch Hu, that wording does not exist in the Chumash, to the best of my knowledge. But, you know, he does mention that we have Azharais, Brurois, and throughout the Nevi'im, Bitru Ba'Hashem, right, Bitru Ba'Hashem. So it wasn't just something that, you know, is a totsah TV of just working on your emunah. We were being directed and pushed by the Nevi'im, certainly by the Nevi'im at least. And you know, if you go with the klal that the Nevi'im usually are bringing out that which is somewhere tamun in the Chumash, that means that if we would know where we're looking in the Chumash and how to read the Chumash properly, it may not say the word Bitru Ba'Hashem, but it is in there. And if you look and say for Dvarim, I could point, Reb Tzadok HaKohen also brings a few psukim that from say for Dvarim that align with the idea of, yes, it's something that we need to work on, not just something that happens. I think that's what you're asking. So yeah, and it's not on the level of one of the Taryag Mitzvahs in that sense, but it's something that we need to work on. Yeah.
How does one draw the line on how much ishtad is put into something? He's dealt a situation. Bitachon says, I need to be at peace with this, or it's all
right.
Whereas we also know there is a concept, I can try and get myself out of this situation. I can do something perhaps that would make it better.
Yeah, so for the first thing I could to say to that is it depends on what situation we're talking about. The Sefer Chovos HaLevavos breaks all of exist life into seven different categories. You know, you're talking about parnasa, you're talking about, you know, your dealings with others, your relationships, you're talking about mitzvahs eivarim, mitzvahs halavavos, you're talking about oil mazeh, you're talking about oil maba. And the way to balance bitachon and hishtadlus is different in each one of those. He has a you know, that's part of what the Shaar HaBitachon is coming to address specifically, is how to. But the deeper answer to the question, which you know, because the question is too general, and the answer therefore is we need to go through Shaar HaBitachon and see, so we have at least a framework of which situations require, like for example, regarding a mitzvah, it could be there's no shir in ishtadlus. Like, you know, it could be there's no inyan of bitachon in a mitzvah. I just have to put in every possible thing till no end to be mekayim mitzvah. There's no shir of, you know, yeah, just be b'tech and the kadosh baruch hu and the mitzvah will happen. You know, it's along those lines. But the deeper point here is in Rav Dessler, he has a piece. Rav Dessler discusses this question, and he says, I could find a few. I don't have it off the top of my head, but it's on his Maimarim in Chumash. It's in, I think, in Chelik Beis. So he says over there that there's no such thing as answering this question for your life. Meaning, it's a constantly in flux issue. There's no way you say like, well, you know, I was mishtadel, so now I have to be boiteach, and now that I've got that worked out in this situation, therefore that just becomes the balance for the rest of my life, and I don't have to concern myself so much with this question anymore. There's no way you can ever really strike the balance, and it's more than that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly moving the playing field around, because this is like the test. This is the test. We're always going to be challenged, day in and day out. We're going to always be challenged at trying to find the right balance. Sometimes we'll err to this side, sometimes we'll err to that side, sometimes we might get it just right, but even if we get it just right today, doesn't mean we'll get it just right tomorrow, because the situation might call for something else. It means that, you know, we're always working on this question. There's no, quote unquote, there's no real answer to it in that sense, like a, you know, a simple question and answer type of answer.
Is it correct to say that there isn't a realm of Vitakana in the realm of Ishtatvas? You're supposed to do Ishtatvas in a normal, responsible way with the sense of Vitakana.
It's true, but still, we use these terms. I mean, if you're working with the Chayvus Halavavus, it might be that what you're saying is accurate. But you know, there is this Mesiris that we have, that we talk about Bitachon and Hishtadlus in contrast to one another. So I didn't make that up. He didn't make that up. It's written about and it's discussed. So even though I don't know if in the Chayvus Halavavus such a term, such an actual dilemma is really. The terminology is not necessarily the terminology that he would use, but the issue is not also something that's a mistake to look at it that way. And when we say bitachon in that context, we're talking about this. Bitachon there just means that, you know, there's a point at which a person has to basically say, look, you know, now I have to rely on a Kadosh Baruch Hu. I've done my part, whatever that is, and my seichel and my madrega help me to determine what that is. So at that point now I have to just rely that a Kadosh Baruch Hu will help the Inyan come out the way that it needs to come out, and you know, I've done what I can, and now I have to be calm and collected about it, and just trust in a Kadosh Baruch Hu that it will work out. So there is a lot to that. That's a real sugya. The Chayvus Halavavus doesn't really so much address it, believe it or not. It's funny how he doesn't. You expect he would have, but it is in there. It is in there, and it's a real question. Rav Dessler, you know, he's a bar samcha. We can rely on him. He sets it up that way. Okay.
Thank you.
Pleasure. Thank you. I don't know if he doesn't hold the question. I just it's the way that